Thank you, Dr. Reithofer. The next speaker, ladies and gentlemen, will be our board member finance, our CFO, Dr. Michael Gernahl. Ladies and gentlemen, in the next 40 minutes, I'd like to address the following three topics. First of all, the 2007 financial statements, with special regard to the factors affecting our earnings. Then I'll offer you an outlook at the current financial year, and I will present the status of our efficiency enhancement program, which we've initiated as part of our strategic realignment. Let me start with the financial results for 2007. As Dr. Reithofer has already explained, we've achieved our targets for the year under report despite ongoing difficult conditions. We increased group revenues by 14.3% to 56 billion euros, meaning that we've outperformed the 50 billion mark significantly for the first time. Adjusted for currency effects, revenues were even up by 17.6%. We've earned a profit before tax of 3.87 billion euros, and in absolute terms, this corresponds to a decline of 251 million euros, or 6.1%. But adjusted for the one-off effects of the exchangeable bond option on our shares in Rolls-Royce PLC, as announced, we achieved a gain over the previous year by 0.6%. In 2006, the exchangeable bond had a positive impact of 372 million euros. And in 2007, we also felt a positive effect from the exchange of the last remaining shares, but at 97 million euros, this effect was, of course, much lower in 2007. We increased our earnings before interest and tax, EBIT, by 4% to 4.2 billion euros. This proves that, first, we've met our forecast. Second, we've kept our promise. And third, we still, of course, as we know, have a long way to go before we really achieve the targets, the return, the profit targets we've set ourselves for the year 2012. This rounds up my overview. Before we go to the group's income statement and balance sheet in greater detail, let me first give you a summary of the development of our three operating segments, automobiles, motorcycles, and financial services. And let me start with automobiles, our automobiles business. We've already given you extensive information on our positive retail trend. Thanks to great customer demand, revenues generated by the automobile business rose 12.7% to 53.8 billion euros. In sum, we were therefore able to increase our operating result. EBIT generated by this segment of business amounted to 3.45 billion euros, 12.9% more than in the previous year. The main effects on earnings are presented here on this chart. Once again, the strongest headwind came from currencies, with the US dollar and the Japanese yen leading the way. At 517 million euros, the additional charge was below the 666 million euros headwind that we experienced the year before, but still, we are dealing with a huge factor here, a factor of huge magnitude. In addition, we suffered heavier burdens due to higher raw material prices. In sum, we had to bear 288 million euros in additional costs, and by comparison, the additional costs incurred in 2006 were 178 million euros. Depreciations also were up by 403 million euros, and the reason is that the investments we've made as part of our product campaign in recent years have, of course, had a big impact and are now leading to depreciations over the product's life cycles. In all, as a result of these fixed figures, we had to shoulder 1.2 billion euros in additional costs, which is almost 40% of the 2006 EBIT. And that, of course, is really strong headwind. But we wouldn't be the BMW Group if we didn't know how to compensate such challenges. First of all, we recovered 1.4 billion euros above all through higher retail and improvements of our product mix, and we were able to realize another 351 million euros via efficiency enhancements. And so in all, despite the additional burdens, we succeeded in maintaining the automobile segment's EBIT at a constant 6.4%, which means a stable return despite the challenges I've mentioned. As expected, we posted a strong operating performance in the fourth quarter of last year. Combined with our efficiency and cost measures, this resulted in a strong EBIT margin of 7.8% in Q4. This brings me to the return on capital employed, or ROCE, which we consistently use as an internal key performance indicator. On this chart, you see the fundamental methodology and the parameters behind it, how we determine ROCE and how we apply it as our, again, key performance indicator, which you also see in our annual report. There's one major parameter concerning the return on capital that I'd like to talk about in greater detail. This is capital turnover. Capital turnover reflects the ratio of revenues to capital employed. The latter is defined as the difference between operating assets and non-interest-bearing liabilities. As you can see, capital employed increased by 7.5%, which was disproportionately lower than the increase in revenues, which were up by more than 14%. Accordingly, capital turnover has also risen. In contrast, the EBIT margin, which is the ratio of EBIT to revenues, was flat, as explained earlier. All in all, ROCE, which is the product of the EBIT margin and capital turnover, reached a corresponding increase or rise, increasing from 21.7% to 22.8%. Now let's move on to motorcycles. Despite retail growth, revenues here were down by 2.9% to 1.23 billion euros, due to the change in our model mix. Nevertheless, EBIT in our motorcycle segment was up 6.7% to 80 million euros. The decisive driving force behind these improvements was sustained efficiency enhancements, which were successfully initiated by Dr. Diess while he was still in his old function running our motorcycle company. This is also reflected by the corresponding key figures, with the motorcycles business EBIT margin rising to 6.5% from 5.9% in the previous year. ROCE in the motorcycle segment, in turn, was up from 17.7% to 18.2%. The next point, financial services. Here again, we can look back at a successful year. The business volume recorded on our balance sheet jumped last year by 16.5% to 51.3 billion euros. The number of leasing and financing agreements concluded with customers was up 15.8% to 2.63 million. The penetration rate increased by 2.3 percentage points to 44.7%. Revenues advanced by one-fourth to just under 14 billion euros, and we lifted EBIT by 4.1% to 717 million euros. The fact that the rise in earnings was disproportionately lower than revenue growth is primarily due to the higher refinancing costs. In turn, this development was driven by the two following factors. First, the generally higher level of interest, and second, the crisis in the international credit markets, which in the USA in particular has caused particular concern and insecurity, leading to a rise in credit spreads. This has a tangible impact on earnings and on the return on assets, our key parameter in the financial services business, where we recorded a slight decrease, slipping from 1.4% to 1.3%. Developments in credit markets have also had an effect on the creditworthiness of our US customers. This impact is not direct, since we're not active in the subprime sector, but it does have an indirect effect, since the subprime crisis affects the entire US mortgage industry. This is accompanied by the general slowdown of the US economy, which will not fail to affect demand and customer confidence. But we should not forget that one of the advantages of the premium segment is that most of our customers are wealthy and have strong, or let's say, robust incomes. Nevertheless, we recorded a marginal increase in credit defaults, as you can see here, in our financial services operations, primarily driven by developments in the USA. The bad debt ratio increased by 5 basis points to 0.46%. In addition, prices in the used car business are on a significant decline for the reasons I mentioned before, since customers active in this market, that is in the used car market, the pre-owned car market, react more strongly to the general economic slowdown than buyers of new premium cars. Right now, however, the situation remains manageable and our risk provisions cover the trend generally expected. However, we'll continue to keep a close eye on this trend and to react appropriately. Now let me move on to our reconciliations as another factor in our reconciliations as another factor in our business fields. This segment includes companies that are not assigned to any of the three segments already mentioned, as well as consolidations between the segments. Reconciliations posted a pre-tax loss of 173 million euros as opposed to a pre-tax profit of 361 million a year before. This drastic swing has two reasons. First of all, the exercise of the exchangeable bond option on the shares in Rolls-Royce PLC, which in 2006 still had a positive effect on the bottom line, which was much smaller than in 2007. And then there were changes in the market values of some of our derivative financial instruments, for example, due to changes in foreign exchange rates. Ladies and gentlemen, this rounds up my presentation of the individual lines of business so that now we can return to group level and start with our income statement, with our profit and loss statement. First of all, the cost of sales. The cost of sales was up by 16.4%, thus outpacing revenues. This was due to the effects explained, I mentioned before, the effects of exchange rates, raw materials and refinancing costs. All told, gross profit advanced by 7.5%. As a result, the gross margin decreased slightly, slipping from 23.1% to 21.8%. Moving on now to the various items in the profit and loss statement, the income statement. Sales and administrative costs increased 5.7% to 5.25 billion euros due to the expansion in the volume of our business. However, this increase was disproportionately lower than the growth in revenue, since we took a more efficient and focused approach here too, above all in our marketing-related communications. Accordingly, the share of revenues accounted for by this cost block dropped for the fourth straight year from 0.7 percentage points to 9.4%, by 0.7 percentage points to 9.4%. R&D expenditure advanced by 14.8% to 2.92 billion euros. This figure includes depreciation on capitalized development costs in the amount of 1.1 billion euros. Most importantly, however, this item includes several hundred million euros for the important field of efficient dynamics, our technologies, the ongoing development of our technologies for lower CO2 emissions. After all, we wish to maintain our leading position in this area. In other words, we see this as an active investment in the future. Still, the ratio of R&D costs to revenues, according to IFRS, remained unchanged at 5.2%, thanks to our more efficient development processes. total R&D expenditure, according to the German HGB code, the German commercial code, amounted to 3.14 billion euros and was thus 2% down year on year. The R&D ratio, according to the German commercial code, HGB, thus declined substantially, dropping from 6.5 to 5.6%. The capitalization ratio decreased from 47.9 to 42.4%, owing to the smaller number of projects in series development. The next item in our income statement is other operating income and expenditure. Here we had a positive balance of 200 million euros, which represents a decline of 11.9%. This decrease is primarily due to the drop in other operating earnings. In all, this results in a new record EBIT of 4.21 billion euros, and as I said earlier, this corresponds to a rise by 4.0%. Since EBIT growth was disproportionately lower than the increase in revenue, however, the group's EBIT margin slipped by 0.8 percentage points to 7.5% in the year under report. Now let's move on to our financial results. Here we see a significant decrease from 430 million euros in the previous year to 339 million euros in 2007. Again, the contributing factor here was the basic effect of the exchangeable bond option on shares in Rolls-Royce PLC in the other financial results. In light of the development of the financial result, the profit before tax declined in all by 6.1% to 3.87 billion euros. Excluding the one-off effects of the Rolls-Royce exchangeable bond, already mentioned, the profit before tax increased by 0.6%. The earnings trend results in a 1.5 percentage point decrease in the return on sales to 6.9% compared with 8.4% in 2006. These earnings were subject to 739 million euros in taxes, following 1.25 billion earned taxes in the previous year. This corresponds to a decrease in the effective tax rate from 30.3% to 19.1%. This significant change, in turn, results in principle from the lower valuation of our deferred tax assets, which was caused by the corporate tax reform introduced here in Germany on the 6th of July 2007. We expect the effective tax rate to grow again. In other words, we do not assume that it will remain in the long run at this low level, since this is, in our opinion, a one-off realignment effect. After deducting the 739 million euros in taxes, we arrive at a net profit of 3.13 billion euros, 9% more than in 2006, and for the first time, we've therefore passed the 3 billion euro mark. This leads to earnings of 4.78 euros per common share and 4.8 euros per preferred share, an increase by 9.1%. This now takes us on to the next item, leaving the income statement and moving on to our consolidated balance sheet and cash flow statement. I hope you will bear with me if I do not go into all details here, but let me address a key item on the asset side, that is the changes in tangible, intangible, and investment assets, which reflect our capital expenditure. In 2007, capital spending amounted to 4.3 billion euros, which was on par year on year. Property, plants and equipment and intangible assets accounted for 2.84 billion euros, corresponding to a decline by 2.2%. The lion's share of capital expenditure went into the production network. Above all, in Spartanburg and Dingolfing, we've been very active. Indeed, in Spartanburg, we're preparing the integration of the BMW X3 and the X6. In Dingolfing, we're gearing up for the next generation of the BMW 7 Series. Moreover, we made substantial investments last year in our sales network with the BMW Welt being one of these major investments, this venue you're experiencing today, ladies and gentlemen. In addition, we have capitalized development costs totaling 1.3 billion euros, slightly less than the 1.5 billion euros recorded in 06. As I said before, this was due to the lower number of capitalizable series projects. The capital expenditure ratio dropped, therefore, from 8.8 to 7.6%, getting us pretty close to our target of less than 7% of revenues. Now let's move on to our cash flow statement. Operating cash flow, that is cash inflow from operating activities in our industrial operations, amounted to 6.34 billion euros, representing an increase over the previous year by 18% or 1 billion euros. The cash outflow from investing activities in the industrial business declined by 8.3% or nearly 400 million euros to 4.0 billion euros. The free cash flow from industrial operations thus grew significantly from about 1 billion to 2.3 billion euros. This includes a one-off effect from the sale of property of 236 million euros. This strong cash flow, this strong trend, results in an increase in net financial assets in the industrial business by 31% to over 7 billion euros. And in principle, I mean, taking this as an isolated factor, this is too high for us. On the other hand, due to the high level of cash flow, we were able to internally refinance part of our financial services operations, thus avoiding the poor conditions in the capital market, at least in certain cases. As you know, this loan from industrial operations to financial operations was, of course, a temporary measure. However, in the light of the uncertainty prevailing in the capital markets, our financial power at the moment gives us greater flexibility in refinancing our SF business, our financial services business. Still, we make use of our significant financial strength in other areas as well, first and foremost to substantially increase the dividend payment. As you've already heard, the Supervisory Board and the Board of Management will propose to the AGM that the dividend for fiscal 2007 be increased appropriately. We would like to lift the dividend by 51% to 1 euro 6 for common shares, and the increase in the case of preferred shares will be 50% to 1.1 euro 8 cents. As a result, the total dividend will climb to 694 million euros, and the payout ratio will increase from 16 to 22% of our net profit. But we see a greater potential here, meaning that this is only our first step. Further steps will follow, and in future we wish to give our shareholders a bigger share in our business and earnings performance. And at the same time, we wish to transfer our pension commitments, which will again lead to further cash outflow. In all, there will be three tranches. So far, we've anticipated a total of 4.5 billion euros set aside for pension commitments. Now, due to a higher discount rate, the commitments currently amount to approximately 3.8 billion euros. So why are we doing this? On the one hand, to further minimize the usual pension risks to the benefit of our workforce, and on the other hand, we're making use of our strong cash position today to prevent the demographic trend from having a negative impact on our cash flow tomorrow. Having said this, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you my summary for 2007. We have kept our promise once again. The BMW Group has delivered. Despite difficult conditions, the group has stayed on course. Despite, as I said, the underlying problems, we've more than set off the significant negative effects of foreign exchange rates and raw materials, clearly proving our operating strength and earnings power. But looking at our return figures, I will be very clear. We can and must do better, even better. And indeed, as I just said, we must do better. This is why we've launched our new corporate strategy and the programme to improve profitability, which I'll come back to later. But again, this concludes my remarks regarding fiscal 2007 for the time being, and it takes us on to the development that we expect in 2008. As Dr. Reithofer has already mentioned, the environment continues to be difficult. We still face headwinds in terms of raw materials and, above all, in terms of currencies, which is reflected in poor currency transaction rates. However, we are almost fully hedged against the main currencies for 2008, meaning that a spot price of $1.50 per euro or more will not find its way into our income statement. In all, we thus expect that the additional currency effects in 2008 will be lower or smaller than in 2007. In addition, as I mentioned earlier, we believe risks will rise from the credit crunch in the US. In the last few years, we've put the BMW Group on a global course in order to capitalize on opportunities for growth and anticipate global trends. As you know, the US has become our single largest market in the meantime, and indeed, we are convinced of the opportunities the USA will offer also in future, at least by and large. But today, we're facing particular challenges. I've already described the rise in credit defaults and the pressure on used car prices seen in the market. So far, all this remains manageable, but it remains to be seen how these areas will develop, how they'll continue to develop. In all, we expect our positive business performance to continue in 2008, in fiscal 2008. Despite the difficult environment, we aim to further improve absolute earnings in the automobiles business, and we currently expect ROCE to increase as well, in line with our company's value orientation, which we're constantly pushing for. For reasons you know well, the automobile segment EBIT margin has decreased over the years. We put a stop to this development, however, in 2007. We've now stabilized our EBIT margin, and now we have our sights set on landing between 8 and 10% by 2012. The motorcycle business next. Here again, we aim to increase our earnings with a slight increase year on year in 2008. Financial services are expected to continue expanding their business volume and display a positive trend in earnings. However, as explained before, this will be against the backdrop of higher burdens and risks. In 2008, the capital expenditure and R&D ratios will move towards the target ranges we've communicated, the corridors, as part of our strategy, and will incur a one-off personnel cost for the workforce reduction in 2008. But again, the emphasis is on one-off personnel cost. You already know the details. In all, adjusted for the one-off effect of the Rolls-Royce exchangeable bond in 2007 of €97 million, we intend to generate group profit before tax in 2008, which would be higher than in 2006. Besides, or in addition to this preview of our business trend, I'd like to give you a more technical outlook into the future. You see, with the 2008 financial statements, we'll also be presenting a restructured segment report. Why are we doing this? Because we want to offer you more transparency and a deeper insight into our group target system, for example, with regard to our internal ROCE parameters. I already presented to you the ROCE figures, which are decisive for non-interest-bearing liabilities and capital employed, in the ROCE statement earlier on. In addition, this data has also been published in our current annual report. But we want to take this a step further with other ROCE figures, giving you a better understanding of the qualitative and quantitative performance of our automobiles, motorcycles and financial segments. And we'll be lifting the separation or eliminating the separation between industrial and financial operations in order to make our financial services more transparent. In this context, we're also rearranging the target system in our financial services business. The return on assets, which was our former KPI, is being replaced by the return on equity. And as I said earlier, we'll introduce the new reporting concept in our 2008 financial statements, and we've already started to apply all of these new parameters. So much, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, on the 07 and 08 years of business. Now let's look further into the future, setting our sights on 2012, and therefore on the profitability and efficiency targets of our number one strategy. Because you see, there is one thing I really wish to emphasize once again. The BMW Group, ladies and gentlemen, is a healthy company. We are the market leader and the leader in innovation. But we still have to do our homework when it comes to efficiency and effectiveness. As evidenced by our key return indicators, we are good, but there is always room for improvement. This applies especially to a sector as competitive as the automobile industry. So again, we want to become better and even more efficient, allowing us to survive in the face of global competition, and therefore we wish to cope with the responsibility we shoulder also for our stakeholders. This is why, as we've stated frequently, we've established a separate board committee for profitability alongside the board committee responsible for strategy implementation. This committee is where all our efforts to improve our earning power are controlled, and we're talking about a large number of efforts because we've launched a large number of projects and activities. Again, rollout in this area is in full swing. The key questions are, what are these activities like, and when will we feel the impact on the bottom line? Well, let me give you a brief overview of what we're doing. First of all, we'll reduce our exposure to currency risks by stepping up natural hedging. This means we'll increase our production output in the dollar zone from 150,000 to 240,000 units. Last week, we already published some details in this context, including the required capital expenditure of $750 million US dollars. At the same time, we'll expand sourcing in the USA, purchasing in the USA. At the moment, only 9% of the purchasing volume for our global production system comes from NAFTA, from the NAFTA countries, and this is definitely not enough. It's far too little. At the same time, we'll further increase our manufacturing output also in Great Britain and China. And of course, this cannot happen overnight. It will take some time. The next major lever is the enhancement of efficiency. All told, we wish to achieve an accumulated, which will realize an accumulated 6 billion euros in savings by 2012 on top of our former plans. Here we're already picking up speed and we will soon be going full throttle, meaning that the effects will be felt only after a warm-up phase, but then they will really be felt substantially and sustainably. The lion's share, which would be two-thirds or 4 billion euros of this figure, will be achieved in purchasing, which easily represents the largest cost item, amounting to 26 billion euros. This is why we've set up a new board division for this purpose, already working at full steam. And in this context, on behalf of my colleague Dr. Diess, let me emphasize that we do not wish to maintain or build up more pressure on our suppliers. Rather, we wish to maintain constructive cooperation with our suppliers and not make excessive demands of them. And that is why we are not just following the simple strategy of reducing prices all the time. Rather, we wish to help them reduce their costs as the starting point for lower prices, for example, by offering them our product and engineering expertise. This will benefit both parties in the long run, and at the same time without quality risks, because customer orientation, again, is our prime objective of everything we do. Of course, we're negotiating price cuts as well. That goes without saying. And these cuts are on top of our original budgets. In addition, we're exploring ways and means to leverage efficiency potentials throughout our supply chain, not just at the first stage. Potentials lie dormant here in our areas too. And so we're analysing the entire value-added chain, meaning that in clear terms, everything that is not perceived by the customer as product performance or quality, and everything the customer is not prepared to pay for, is being queried. Obviously, These activities take time. These effects will require a run-up period before they take full effect, before they have their full impact. But we will feel the first tangible results in 2008, and we are looking at savings in the three-digit million euro range. So much, therefore, on the 4 billion euros in efficiency enhancement and cost reduction in purchasing. This leaves us with another 2 million, which we'll realize by reducing fixed costs and streamlining our development processes. In so doing, we'll continuously reduce the R&D ratio to a corridor between 5 and 5.5%, but definitely not below that. Investments secure the future, especially as regards the environment, environmental technology. Therefore, we'll continue to steer the company with foresight while strategically investing in important fields such as efficient dynamics and defending as well as extending our competitive advantage. In line with our approach in purchasing, we will therefore not simply cut costs in a general, in an overall manner, but rather will look for an intelligent, creative solution. As a result, our motto is not fewer projects and future technologies, but less complexity and greater efficiency. We're not just saving for the sake of saving, but rather we're trying to find intelligent solutions to keep costs down. And let me give you some examples. First, we'll make more and more use of construction kits or modular systems for products and drivetrains, for example, by increasing the number of shared components in our current 4 and 6 cylinder engine generations from 20 to 35%. Then engineering hardware, that is test parts, testing tools, etc., account for a very big cost item in research and development, in total 700 million euros a year. Again, we're focusing on this expenditure, for example, by refining virtual processes in order to reduce the number of prototypes we use, and, of course, this also reduces development costs accordingly. We see a huge potential as well in third-party development activities, which is why we're currently working with our colleagues in purchasing to come up with ideas for further, for more efficient processes. Furthermore, we'll draw up a clear list of priorities, considering very carefully which innovations are perceived or really perceived by our customers, what are our customers willing to pay for, what technical areas are of less relevance to the customer, and which would open up the door, therefore, to standardized solutions. So as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, we're leveraging potential, our potential in development as well, but with a good measure. And this, again, takes time. Some projects have a long-term horizon and do not take full effect immediately. Conversely, you will already see results in terms of personnel costs, in terms of our manpower expenditure, from 2009 onward. As you know, starting next year, we intend to achieve annual savings of up to 500 million euros in this area alone. And last but not least, we will further reduce our capital expenditure ratio to less than 7% by 2012. Again, let me give you a concrete example of what this might look like. You see, by introducing new painting technology at our Oxford plant, we were able to avoid making two-digit million euro investments when we expanded our capacity in 2006-2007. And, thanks to our flexible production system, we are able to achieve the targeted retail of 1.8 million units by 2012 without building a new fully-fledged production plant. In other words, building on our existing structures and focusing on creating value, as well as associated efficiency enhancements, we'll build 1.8 million units without a new plant. This concludes my remarks on some of the activities through which we'll be realizing the envisioned 6 billion euros in cost reductions. The program's logical consequence will be the announced increase in margins and the sustained improvement of our free cash flow. The objective is to achieve a level of approximately 2 billion euros by 2012, and from 2012 onwards, we want to clearly exceed the 2 billion euro mark. Summing up, ladies and gentlemen, you see that we've set clear targets towards increasing our profitability and to strengthen our competitive edge. In doing this, in this process, we do not intend to just look at short-term effects. Rather, we're looking at a long-term development, a sustainable development. And this means, therefore, that we're not looking at a one-dimensional saving strategy, but rather we wish to grow first and foremost sustainably through new products with new services and in new markets. At the same time, we'll become even more profitable, and we will make sure that our efficiency-related activities are not one-dimensional, but rather we'll keep a clear eye on all stakeholders involved. Securing the future, ladies and gentlemen, primarily translates into customer orientation. We must be oriented towards the customer. This is why we're not saving on the substance or quality of our products, but are continuing to consistently invest in attractive cars and motorcycles, as well as strong brands, strong and popular brands. In all, 56 billion euros in revenues do not just come from the sky. This money comes from somewhere, and it is indeed an expression of the appreciation our customers give us. Furthermore, we're fully aware that our employees, that our workforce, are the key prerequisite for our success. Therefore, we plan to continue keeping the best people, of course, and attracting the best new employees, winning them over for the company. The prerequisite here is that we remain attractive as an employer, and we will only remain so attractive if we ensure lasting success as the basis for ample profitability. And this also includes adjusting the headcount to the necessities of our business operations, as we are doing at the moment. Of course, we intend as well to remain a good investment at the end of the day. BMW must be a good investment, which is why I want our shareholders to consistently participate in the success of the company through an increased dividend. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention, and I'm looking forward to our discussion. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Ganal, for your statement. Thank you, sir.